Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is taken from Revelation 12, verse 17. It says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ."
Be watching over the next few weeks. We have started a worship committee. Meets every week, meets once a week. And we are planning and talking and praying about things for the Sabbath morning worship service. That's all it talks about or thinks about is the idea of how can we continue to grow the Sabbath morning experience. And be watching for different things that will be coming along on that, tweaking a little here or there or whatever. One of the things they said is, one of the things that would be really neat is the idea that we would be about, I mean, we all know this is a praying church family, but several of the members of that worship committee or worship team have committed to be here 9:15 every morning just to pray. And we'd encourage anybody to come and be a part of that, come and pray, and then be a part of then come go right to Sabbath school classes. That group is people that have department leadership of different things. And so, you know, be here a few minutes early to pray together and then head to the departments and do things. And we're not into secretive societies around here, okay? So anybody that would like to be a part of that, come and pray together, we invite you to do that. Come and pray together as we go into our worship experience. Some of you say, well, I might not be here for that, but I'll pray at 9:15 for our church and for our church family. We do that. We commit to be doing that on a regular basis. We'll appreciate it if we'd be a part of doing that together. Okay? Last Sabbath, or the last time I was together. I got to get used to that. Saying last Sabbath to me means the last time I was here with you, all right? Whenever that was, last Sabbath means the last time I was here. Next Sabbath means the next time I'm here together, all right? Just get used to that with me, of the last and next means that. I know that means every other week, but I can't keep track of that, okay? Last Sabbath, I was here with you. We were talking about what is in a name. What is in a name? And we noticed that Jacob's name meant crook, but God changed his name to Israel, meaning child of the king. And we looked at in John chapter 1, verse 12, where Jesus gives anybody that comes to him the power, the ability to have your name changed, to being part of the family of God. The name Israel means prince or son of the king or child of God. That any of us, whenever we come to Jesus, we can have our name changed to being part of the family of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says that's done by adoption. We're adopted into the family of God. Doesn't matter how tall we are, how short we are, how much hair we have or don't have. Doesn't matter what color we are. Doesn't matter how big we are. Doesn't matter any of those things. Come to Jesus, we can be a part. Adopted into the family of God. Have your name changed. That's what it means. Today I want to go a little farther with that. The idea of what's in a name. So how about if we try this? How about if we talk a little bit? Might be a little blunt. Why in the world am I a Seventh-day Adventist? What does the name Seventh-day Adventist mean? Why do we have this name and what does it mean and what does it stand for? How about if we take a try at that today? What do you think? Okay? Now, to Seventh-day Adventists, that means we're going to start with Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, which was just read for us, which takes us to the position of what in the world is a remnant? What does the word remnant mean anyway? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. What's a remnant? Where does it fit? I hope you have your Bible with you in one way, shape, or form, either one of these, the book form like I have, or if you've got it on your phone to be able to look it up that way, whatever, that works fine. We're going to be all over the place in the Scripture, okay? We're literally going to be all over the place in the Scripture as we talk about what in the world is in a name, what does that matter, what does the word remnant have to do with it, why do we claim to have a part of that, and what does that mean, what is remnant, how does that fit with the issue we're talking to people who believe that they've had their name changed in Jesus Christ, all right? The power is always in the blood of Jesus Christ. That was what was sung for us. Ooh, that was nice, wasn't that? Nice reminder to us, okay? That's got something to do with that word remnant. What does that have to do with it? So we're going to see if we can move all that together. Okay? Anybody like cars? Anybody here like cars? Now, my daughter likes a car, but she, to her, to like a car, the only thing she cares about a car is to be able to turn the key and have it go vroom. Push another button or hurt something else and have then be able to step on the accelerator and have it go. That's all she wants. Okay? She said that all along. I don't care about a car. I don't care about what they do. I don't care what they look like. I don't care anything about a car. I just want it to be able to get me where I want to go. I don't care if I ever, she wouldn't care if she'd ever drive again another day in her life. She doesn't have any interest in a car. Just a thing to get her where she wants to go. My son, on the other hand, he likes cars. Now, I'm not asking you, do you want something to go room? I'm asking, how many of you like cars? I have a 1966 Ford Mustang. I really do. Nah, I don't have that much money. But I have a 66 Mustang. Church I was at. Had this guy that's what he does. He works on and the antiques are his specialty. Yeah, man, that was pretty nice. Had all sorts of things there. And I got a bright idea. My dad used to be a mechanic. That gene kind of skipped me. I was never into that kind of stuff. I like cars, but I don't want to be tinkering with them and working on them and all that kind of stuff. Don't know anything about them. But I like, ooh, that's a nice car. Anyway, got to thinking, you know, my son should have a chance. He's expressed some interest in mechanical things and different things. And I got talking to this guy that has. I said, you do these things, you turn these. He says, yeah, you want one? I can get you one. I said, but I don't know how to take care of it. He says, well, I'd love to teach your son how to do that. That's how we got into, we have a 66 Mustang. And he and I went and with this guy who does this and built the thing. When I bought the thing, Barry's the one that told me to get it. That's the one you want. Bought it. It was not a car. It was pieces of junk, literally. Okay? There was no seats in it. There was the engine wasn't in it. The engine came in parts. When we got digging around in the parts, we found we had 7 pistons instead of 8. So, you know, it was just a bunch of junk. But when Barry got working on it, and we claim we did it, we redeveloped this car, you know, Barry did it, and we kind of helped along. My son was, you know, got actually hands-on doing it, digging the engine apart, digging different things, doing. We've got a 66 Mustang. We really do. Now, what in the world does that have to do with anything? While I was there, one day I went and we were working on the car, and again, Barry has all these other cars there that he's working on for different people, okay? And I look at it and say, what's that? He says, oh, that. Well, that's a 1934 Cadillac. Man, that thing was nice. In fact, I said, what's it doing here? Well, they've got me. I'm repainting it for the guy and whatever. I said, man, that thing's neat. Where'd it come from? What's the guy do with it? I don't know. It sits in a museum. I was like, oh, I have a thing like that and just have it sitting in a museum. I said, then why is it here if it's sitting in a museum? Well, even when it's just sitting in a museum, you got people looking at it and climbing on it and doing whatever and banging on it, so it needs to be repainted. I said, well, then if it's getting beat up in a museum, why don't they put it out on the road? Oh, no, 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 no. That thing is a classic, and it's worth a couple $100,000, and you're not going to drive that on the road and take a chance of getting it wrecked. So it just sits in a museum. That's not a car. That's just something sitting in a museum. If you can't get in it and drive it and run it around, that's not a car. That's just something that sits there. And then I've gotten to realize, if you're going to have an older car, you've got to be constantly working on taking care of it. It isn't something you just count on to be able to have as your regular vehicle. It just doesn't work that way. You never know what might break at any given time. And you've got to know how to take care of that thing because you can't afford to have the thing and be taking it in all the time anytime it doesn't work. So it's mostly a toy, and it mostly just sits there. And mine is a museum piece that's not good enough to be in a museum, so it's just sitting there in Barry's yard. It hasn't even come out here to Massachusetts with us. We've had it on the road now about 5 years. It's got less than 3,000 miles on it since it's been redone. It just sits there. We've got the thing finally decided we're going to sell the thing. What good is having the thing when it just sits there? It's six states away. I didn't even get a chance to go out and look at it. It's just sitting there. So what was once a piece of junk is now refixed up so that it can be a museum piece, but it still isn't the car. It just sits there. Now, what's that have to do with anything? What's that have to do with remnant? Keep in mind, okay? Keep in mind. Revelation chapter 12. And what's this have to do with the name? Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged, was wroth, the old English says, with the woman. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Remnant. What's a remnant? Most of my teenage years, my growing up years, so to speak, were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Southern Adventist University on the campus there in Collegedale. Just down the road, about 30 miles, is a place called Dalton, Georgia. Dalton, Georgia is the carpet capital of the world, okay? Carpet coming and going out of there, okay? And everybody around in the surrounding area knows if you have a house and you've got a room you want recarpeted, don't go to some store and get it, especially if it's a small room, if it's a small little bathroom or a little something. Go to Dalton. Get a remnant. It'll cost you almost nothing. You know what a remnant is? Carpet is put on these big, they call them bolts, but really it's a big round thing that it takes a whole machine to pick the thing up. And when you pick the thing up, they unroll the thing and you get however many square feet you need of carpet, and they cut it off that bolt or that roll. And they keep, then somebody else wants some, so you pull a thing off again, you get the machine, pick the thing up, and roll it off and cut off that amount and let people take it. And you keep doing that until you get down to the part where the remnant is the part that's the very end, the very last. And it's the part that usually remnants are ones that is not big enough to be able to sell, but it's the last part. How does the remnant look compared to the rest of the bolt? Huh? It looks exactly the same. Now, I learned something about carpet. If you want to come back a few months later and get the same lot number, don't do that. It won't be exactly the same. If it's not the same lot, if it wasn't run through the dye factory exactly the same time, even though the numbers and everything else will be the same, it won't be exactly the same. But all that is on this roll will be exactly the same. Exactly the same. Doesn't matter when it's pulled off. It's the last part that is exactly like the rest of it. Which means when you're looking at the ones that the devil is enraged at or mad at the very end, it will be the remnant, the very last, but it will look exactly like it came before. Seventh-day Adventists don't claim to be some new Christian religion. We don't claim to be a new anything. The goal is not to create some new something. The goal is to take us back to the primitive godliness during the time of Jesus. The issue is not about something new, something fantastic, something whatever. It is to take us back to the message of Jesus Christ. Some people get that a little mixed up some one time. Let me tell you a story. See what you think of it. Literally happened. I know the guy. Okay? You've got, I'll just say it. Adventists are into a lot of different things, including Adventists try to be fairly healthy. And Adventists try to talk about health things. Some people get kind of fired up, and in some of our opinions, some of us get more on the side issue than the main issue, and instead of health being the things that brings us to Jesus, sometimes you have some people that have Jesus bringing us to the health message, and you know that becomes the main focus or issue. And this one guy, he was really fired up on health things, and he was sure that everybody needed to be a vegan. Okay? He was one of everybody needed to be a vegan. He was sure of it. And that's just the way it is, and you had to be that. And somebody asked him one time, well, how's that fit? This guy was a preacher now. He should know better than this, okay? So he was asked, Well, how does that fit that you've got to be a vegan? Jesus couldn't be a vegan because Jesus ate fish. You know what the guy's answer was? See what you think of this one. How you like this one? He said, oh, but you don't understand. We have more light than he did. Now, if you're a long-time Adventist, you know what he meant. But guys, that's crazy. Christianity believes the Bible and the Bible alone for doctrine, right? The issue is to get back to the message of the Bible, not invent something new, right? And if somebody's got something new and better, that's a new and better Christianity than what's in the Bible, the Apostle Paul said it pretty clearly in one of his books. He says, I don't care what they say, if it isn't according to the Bible and this doctrine, get rid of it. Now, do I believe there is such a thing within the issue of the general standards of the Scripture to be a little more careful on something than what is specific? Sure. Is it a doctrine to follow biblically? No. Does that make sense? We are not talking about something new. The remnant needs to look exactly like the rest of the bolt, or it isn't the remnant from that bolt. Does that make sense? Anything that is the last seed of the Christian message needs to be the message that Jesus taught when he was here, or it isn't the remnant of Jesus. Is that fair? Do you know the Bible says, did you know there has always been a remnant? Do you know there's been a bunch of remnants? Remember I told you I'm going to take you all over the place. You know where the first remnant shows up? I'll show you where the remnant shows up first. It might surprise you. It's in the book of Genesis. It's in the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, you have the story of God creating. God created the world, and he says, man, it was good. And as God's creating the world day to day to day, he's adding a little more and a little more and more and more, and God says, man, that's pretty good. You get to chapter 1, verse 31, the end, and he says, at the end of the sixth day, and he says, man, that's not only good, that's real good. And then he says, with that, just before he says, man, this is not only good, this is real good. A few verses before that, verses 28 and onward, he says, when he's created the man and the woman, the couple, and he says, now I'm going to give you authority, dominion is the old English word, and I'm going to let you, I want you to take care of it. Take care of it and take responsibility for it, and you have the responsibility for this thing. Could I suggest it was so good that somebody thought they ought to steal it? Chapter 3. Well, chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. God says, now let's get something straight. You're to have dominion, and this is all, you know, you're going to take care of this. I'm going to give you the authority to take care of the earth, to tend it, to take care of it completely. But you need to understand, there is somebody that's trying to steal this, and he wants to have a tree in the middle of the garden, so I've let him. And of that tree, stay away from it. It'll cause you some trouble. Don't eat of that or you'll die. Chapter 3, verse 4. You have the people standing there at that tree talking to a snake, and the snake is talking to them. That's a little novel. But when the snake is talking to them, he says, you won't die. In fact, God told you to be afraid of this tree because the day you eat of it, you'll be just like God and you'll know as much as he have, and you'll have dominion. Wait a minute, what was it they already have in the earth? Dominion. But look at how wise you'll be. And the people went, me, God, wow. Oops. Chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife. She conceived and bore Cain. and said, "Ah, I've gotten a man from the Lord. The message is going to do fine. It's on to the next generation, and it's going to sail along fine," right? And then it says we had Abel. And you read through the rest of the chapter, and that didn't go so well. God had a perfect plan. He had everything all worked out, but people issues kind of got in the way, and that messed it up. And would you look at the last couple of verses in chapter 4? Verses 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and she named him Seth, for God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And what would we call that when she says, and God has appointed another seed? There was a remnant. God had a plan, people issues got in the way, but God was not caught off surprise. There was off stride. There was a remnant. Go a little farther. Go to chapter 6. God is getting frustrated. Chapter 6, God is getting frustrated. Abel was killed, Cain's group is kind of dealt. God put a mark on them, said, keep them over here. But the two groups have been getting together. The people of Seth have been kind of, why is it? What is it about us humans? Happened in Israel all the time. Happened in Israel all the time. We'll get to them in a minute. But why was it in Israel when the good Jewish boys in Israel got looking around, the prettiest girls were always the Philistines? How in the world is that? I mean, you get what I mean? And before you think that's just the guys, happens today. Man, how many times do we have the girls say, I don't want this clean living one over here. I want that dangerous one over there. He's cool. I'm going to get the wild one that's into all the wild stuff and the wild things, and I want to be hanging with that wild dude. And when it comes to getting married, oh, don't worry, I'm going to change him. How many times does that happen? What is it with us humans? Instead of the one that I could change into being what I want in the first place, I'd rather have the dangerous one, and I wonder why in the world I don't get him changed like I thought I did. How is that? And instead of having Seth's group of people be the head and not the tail and ministering to the other side, you kind of got ministering going the wrong way. And God has said, I'm getting tired of this, and I'm going to finish this off. I'm going to get rid of this whole situation, and we're going to start over. We're going to have a flood. What's verse 8 say? Chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can I translate? But there is a remnant. Now we've got everything fixed, right? Everything is going to be fine. We can start all over. We're rid of all the problems. We've got all of the problems taken care of. It's just Noah and his wife and their three boys and their wives, and we're going to build a good race out of this, and everything's going to work out fine, right? You're laughing. Didn't work out so fine. But, chapter 12. Abram, I'm going to pull you away from your people, but you're my guy. You will be my remnant. Now notice something when you look at Abram. Notice what God says. All you've got to do is follow what I would have you to do, and if you do, I'm going to bless you, and in blessing you, you're going to be a blessing to the rest of the world. What's the job of the remnant? You just be a blessing to the rest of the world. You follow what God would say. You do it God's way, and see if that doesn't turn out to something that is a blessing to the rest of the world. That's it. That's the job. See? God has always had a remnant. You move a little bit farther on along, you get into farther, and Abram has a boy. His name is Isaac. Now, you get to chapter 22 and verse 2, where Abram is asked to sacrifice his son, and God says something kind of interesting. He says in chapter 2 and verse 2, "Now, Abram, I want you to take that son, and I want you to sacrifice him, that son, your only son." Wait a minute. How many sons did Abraham have? Well, at that point, he had two. And not only did he have two, but Ishmael was the older one. So what do you mean the older one? What do you mean the only one? You know what? We're going to talk about that next time I'm here with you. What is this business of only, and how does that fit? Because clearly, Abraham had two sons, and a little bit later, after Sarah dies, he has a whole other family with a whole bunch more kids. What's this only business? We'll talk about that when I'm back here in a couple of weeks, all right? How's that fit? What's that have to do with anything? But clearly, God has said, not that one, that one. Isaac has kids, has the twins, and what does God say? Not that one, but that one. That's my remnant. We'll even change his name to turn him into my remnant. Remember? Okay? And then it gets a little bigger. One person being the remnant, things are getting bigger. It's time for a whole team. It's time for a whole group. And so why don't we have Israel be the whole group that are my people and have them, their name is children of God. The job description is still the same. You just be the ones to represent what God is like. Live like that. I will bless you and you will be a blessing to the world. Deuteronomy chapter 28. God even says it right out. He says, now, you do this the way I would have you to. You stay within this, do it this way. Do it the way I would have you to do it. And all these blessings will come to you. And you'll be a blessing to the rest of the world. Isn't that kind of what he said to Abraham? He also said, but if you get off crack, in fact, he even uses a funny expression in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He says, if you'll do it my way, I will promise you something. You will be the head and not the tail. By the way, did you ever hear the story? It was English class. Yeah, I can remember, I get these right now. It was English class. And the teacher asked the little boy, I want you to put a bunch of words in a sentence. Deduct, defense, detail. Put those three words in a sentence. You know what the little boy said? I put those in a sentence. The head of deduct went over defense before detail. Plain, simple terms. Be the head and not the tail means be the one in the front, not the one tagging along. Doesn't that what that means? Do it God's way, be my remnant, and I will have you be the head and not the tail. Does that make sense? That's the job of the remnant. Let me bless you for doing it my way, and all the world will be blessed with you. That's the job. Does that make sense? That's the job. But when the remnant stops being a remnant, what are we supposed to do then? Because the remnant must look just like what? Everything that came before. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28. What do you do when the remnant stops being the remnant? Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You guys are so busy trying to pretend you look pretty. You're hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? It means an actor wearing a mask. You're so busy about making sure everything looks so good on the outside and having it all about you, but you don't understand. We can make tombs look good on the outside, but inside there's nothing but dead bones. Don't be dead inside. Don't be fake. Don't be talking, I'm the remnant, and whoa, what a pretty cemetery this is. Oh, what pretty, how important we are, because we've got a bunch of dead people here that were important one day. No, that's not remnant. Remnant is be active and be doing. Can we say it this way? A bunch of parts doesn't make a car. That's just junk. If the thing just sits in the museum, that's not a car. That's a museum piece. Can we say it that way? I had a friend of mine one time, church that I was at. This church had a very, very, very strong finance committee. You know what that meant? Finance committee's job was the place where good ideas went to die. We can't do that. We can't do that, whatever. I said, hey, guys, I was talking to the, you know, talking with some things we needed to do, and this guy, he says to me, no way, that's got to go to the finance committee first. I said, it does, it's going to die. Well, it's got to go to the finance committee first. I said, can I say this to you, accountants? You're really important, and we're really glad we have accountants, and your job is to be the careful ones to make sure that we count real beans rather than imaginary beans. I get that, okay? Really important. But man, you can't dominate like that. What I said to him was, I said, hey, dude, it's like this. If you got a locomotive, you know, a locomotive, a big train, big powerful train? A locomotive needs brakes. If a locomotive doesn't have brakes, it's going to get in trouble. It'll jump off the tracks, and all sorts of bad things will happen. Got to have good brakes. But the engine needs to be the power plant, not the brakes. If the brakes are the power plant, you don't have a locomotive, you have a museum piece. It isn't going anywhere. It's going to just sit there. That make sense? I said, now, dude, your job is to be the brakes, not to be the engine. Don't dominate. Well, we got a few things done. Got a few things to happen. The remnant must always be something that is going and moving and doing, not just sitting there. If the remnant is just sitting there, it's time for a new remnant, because that's dead sepulchers with bones in it. Dead sepulcher with bones in it is not remnant. That's Ichabod. The head has come off. Does that make sense? Can I suggest, let's speed it up and let's continue past the scripture. Jesus is the ultimate remnant. What did Jesus come for? John chapter 1, verse 18. Came to show us what God is like. Remember, the challenge was God is just wanting to get his hold on you. No, God is not like that. Jesus came and said, if you've seen me, the Father, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what does the Father look like? Well, he does miracles like I do. He loves like I do. He develops like I do. He grows people like I do. He encourages people like I do. He mentors people like I do. He saves people like I do. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What is the remnant supposed to do? Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. What does that mean? That means be active. Where? Where should a flower be active? Where it's planted. Okay? Can I be blunt? If the Seventh-day Adventist message is a remnant message, then it better be active in its community rather than just sitting there. If it just sits in his fancy place, that's not a car, that's a museum piece. If it's just sitting there, it might not even be a museum piece, it might just be a pile of junk. I don't care what it is. Unless the thing is useful and developing and doing, that's not remnant. Because if the remnant looks just like Jesus, Jesus was active. And he was active in the name of representing what the Father looked like to draw people to it. To put it in the car analogy, it better be going down the road. And if it's going down the road, its job pretty simply is to pick up hitchhikers. Can we say it that way? Its job going down the road is to pick up hitchhikers, because the remnant says, I believe Jesus is coming again, and people need to be ready, and let's go be ready. And we're going following him, and the door is open for anybody that wants to come too. That's remnant. If it ain't doing that, Time to be talking about another remnant. Made you uncomfortable yet? Isn't that what the word means? Now, the remnant. Back to the verse. Oh, and by the way, when Christianity stalled, there was a remnant. Martin Luther, John Calvin, the different ones, the Protestant Reformation, a call back to the Scripture, the message of the Scripture. When that stalled, there's a Seventh-day Adventists do not believe we're another denomination. We could care less about being another denomination. We simply want to be about following Jesus. Where does the name come from? What's that verse again? The remnant is defined by what? They keep the commandments of God and they have the faith of Jesus. What's that? What's the commandments of God? There's all sorts of commandments in the Bible. Can I narrow it down for you? Let's just talk about the law of God and the law of Moses, okay? Who wrote the law of God? The Ten Commandments. Who wrote it? What did he write it with? What did he write it on? Where did it get put? Inside the ark. All right, the law of Moses. Who wrote it? It's a question that's just as tough as the question of whose bones are in Grant's tomb. Okay? Who wrote the law of Moses, otherwise known as the ceremonial law? Moses did. Okay? Now, was he directed to from God? Sure, but who did the writing? Moses did. What did he write with? Whatever a pen, whatever their version of whatever a pen is today, right? What was it written on? Parchment or paper? Okay? Where did it get put? In a leather sheath on the side of the ark. Which one is permanent? One was written by God with his finger on stone, put inside the ark. The other one was written by a man with a pen on paper and put on the side in a leather sheet. Which is permanent and which is temporary? Okay? So when we're talking thousands of years later, remnant of God, keep the commandments of God, which ones are we talking about? The temporary or the permanent? Well, this doesn't need to be that hard. They keep the commandments of God and they have the testimony of Jesus. What's the testimony of Jesus? Chapter 19 and verse 10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What's that? That means the prophetic word. They keep following wherever Jesus would take. Revelation says these are the ones that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So, any remnant, any last remnant, has to look just like what went before. And it has to be staying to, let's be, the discussion is about the commandments of God and following the testimony of Jesus. Now, can I be a little bit sarcastic? When it comes to the commandments of God, should we have a 9/10 discount? So if it's going to be the Christian gospel, it's going to be the same Christian gospel all the way through, that's from the Garden of Eden down through until just before the Garden of Eden is restored is when remnant means, but it's going to be the same message, restoring the message back to the message of Jesus, not going somewhere else beyond. It's back to the Bible and the Bible alone for doctrine. And the Bible and Bible alone means commandments of God, testimony of Jesus. Commandments of God, follow the Lamb wherever he goes and be ready for him when he comes back. That's the man. That's what it is, right? Pretty simple. No 9/10 discount. What does that mean to be with James chapter 2? James chapter 2. James says, you want to talk about the issue of your faith. Oh, I'm a person of great faith. Fine. Show me your faith by what it looks like. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Oh, we don't like that. What's he mean? It's actually pretty simple. Write down if you want. Write down. Write down the word faith and the word belief. The word faith and the word belief. Faith and belief. Did you know what belief is? It's simple linguistics in the original language. It's so simple that it's obvious. Faith is a noun. Belief is a verb. They're the same word. What are verbs? Action. Now, there are some exceptions. Is a word that just means state of being. That's, you know, most verbs are action. You know what the word belief means? It's a verb. It means to have faith. Go back to James chapter 2 and see the word switch. The same thing. If you're going to believe, you need to have faith, and your faith needs to be seen in what you do, what's going on around. If you've accepted salvation in Jesus Christ, then you've accepted him as the Lord of your life, and you're going to follow him. And in following him, you're saying, you're in that car, going, following Jesus, going, headed for the second coming of Jesus to meet him. But the back door has plenty of room. Come on, hitchhikers, get on too. That's remnant. God's remnant does not just sit there. That's not remnant, that's a museum piece. Sell it. It isn't worth it. It doesn't do anything. If you can't sell it, well, then that's not a museum piece. It's a piece of junk. But either way, it's not a car anymore. If the remnant doesn't look like the message of Jesus before, it's either junk or it's a museum piece, but either way, it's worthless. And God is never caught off guard. If the remnant doesn't want to be remnant anymore, he will find another. And it'll usually come out of the last one. If the group gets too big and too stuck on itself and wanting to be too holy and talk about how holy it is and talk about and be sepulcher, fine. Sit there with your dead bones. We'll use somebody else to go do something else. Am I wrong? What is remnant? It follows. It's back to the message. You want to see the message? Go to Revelation chapter 12. The message, the last day remnant message, is very simple. It's about worship. Worship God who is the creator, even in the context of a judgment time. Worship the God who is the creator. Worship the one that has been the God all along. You want to look at Revelation chapter 12, 17. It's in the context of Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13. Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13 is all about a false trinity that is trying to pretend that it is God. What? You've got the dragon who claims to be God the Father. You have the first beast that claims to be Jesus, and you have the second beast that claims to be the Holy Spirit. Before you think that's too complicated, go back to that second beast and see if it doesn't have an injury that is unto death and has a resurrection experience. See if the second beast doesn't say, we want everybody to worship the first beast. And I take you back to John chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, you find the story of the Father, the Son, who is the one that dies and is resurrected, and the Holy Spirit is the one that sends everybody to worship the Son. Chapter 12 and 13 of Revelation is all about a conspiracy of a false trinity. And it is in that context that this devil is angry with those that are saying, no, I'm going to follow the real God rather than the false God. And he's going to say, okay, let's see if you're serious. And it's in that context that you get a message of the people of God encouraging everybody. The message is three angels. Worship God, the one who actually did the creating. Stay away from Babylon. Babylon, well, all sorts of religious talk, baby talk, yapping this, yapping that, yapping the other. The commandments have been done away with. Jesus is different. You know, there is no such thing. A lot of yapping. Stay away from all of that. Yeah, there's nothing there for you. Don't try to fix it. It's like a fire alarm. Don't try and douse it. Get out. When things, don't let it fall on you. Stay away. Get away from all that stuff. And the third one is, don't play Russian roulette with the beast. You're going to lose. Stay away from it. Get away from that. That's the message of the remnant. It's a message to everybody else. Come be remnant. Don't hang around here. Does that make sense? A remnant that isn't doing remnant isn't remnant, it's Ichabod. A remnant that isn't doing remnant is a car sitting in a museum. Or worse than that, a pile of junk sitting in a junk heap. And before you say, no, I'm going to do it on my own, I'd rather do it on my own than with a group, try that. Try and explain that one in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, which talk about the body of Christ. Folks, God's body has more value than all of the individual parts. The parts make the body stronger. Boy, did I learn that. You get a pile of parts that are going to be going back to being a 66 Mustang, but those parts aren't going anywhere and doing anything, and somebody puts them together. Only then do you have a Mustang. And only when it's put together and everything put together right can you turn the key and have it go vroom. No. None of this business of I'm going to go be wholly off in the corner all by myself. That's not remnant. Remnant is body. Seventh-day Adventists claim to be the remnant church of Jesus Christ. Not because of who we are, not because of what we think or feel, or not because of how important we are. We're just simply saying we've got a message of Jesus Christ that's the best one out there. And if you say, wow, I like that, we say, come and join us. We don't claim to be better Christians than anybody else. We certainly don't claim to be the only Christians. We are simply saying, when you look at the Bible, show me a better message. If you got one, let's go. I want to be there too. But until then, let's be remnant. Does that make sense? But folk, remnant that just sits there, I don't care how pretty it looks. That's not remnant, that's Ichabod. Remnant follows Jesus with the desire to be blessed by Jesus, to be a blessing to the world. If it's not a blessing to the world, it's not God's remnant. I don't care what it preaches. Uncomfortable yet? What's in a name? The name Israel means child of the king. In remnant terminology, the name Christian means member of the royal family. In remnant theology or remnant language, the name remnant means follow Jesus actively, collectively, asking others to join. That's remnant. Amen. Should we have a call to action? Could I suggest, folks, your local church board meets Thursday night. Board members, let's be about what it's God have us to do and to be as a remnant. Everybody else, will you be praying for your church board to be about remnant? And will you be praying about, Lord Jesus, have the church come to me to ask me what my part is in the remnant? Because we want to be active. Amen. We want this message to shine from 2 Airport Road in such a way that the world sees there are people that believe in following Jesus, and it's practical. And it's positive. And anybody can come and be a part, regardless what your name is, because we believe in the God that can change your name. Amen? That's remnant. That's Bible. And he calls us, come follow me. Amen? And come when you've experienced being a disciple, make more disciples. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that in Jesus our name is changed. And help us, dear Father, never to get comfortable just sitting here being name change. May people see it. Because we're remnant. Not because of us, but because you've given a remnant message to draw people to. And it is our prayer that you will show us here at 2 Airport Road how to strengthen and grow the remnant in Worcester. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no remnant without Jesus. When shall I see Jesus? The commandments and the second coming. We believe in the coming of Jesus. That's why we're called Advent, right? Believe in the Advent. Oh, when will I see Jesus? And how many people can I have with me? Let's sing it out together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, who has given the experience of grace to us. And we thank you that whoever we are or whatever we've been, our name has been changed to being the child of the King. And we thank you that with that comes the privilege of sharing that name with others around us. And it is our prayer, dear Father, that you put us to work. And that you use us to be a remnant. We pray in Jesus' name.